Right, slightly higher. Right, I'm going to read out a story called Consumervore. My hands are trying to twist the steering wheel out of shape. The road ahead is full of lurching, halting cars, a symphony of red flashing lights. I want to hit the accelerator and drive at them full speed, knowing that they will part for me, crunching left and right as I eat up the space in between. I have two more meetings to close my month, both guaranteed sales, both hefty ones at that. Tomorrow I'll sail through to another big bonus month. First, this morning's meeting, the aim to sell 300 boxes to Mr. Pez, my best customer in North London. If I'm lucky, maybe as many as 400. No reason why not. The product is selling out everywhere. A miracle for me and everyone else. My new car is teed up. I can already feel the weight of the showroom door as I ease it open. The aircon chill welcoming me into the uncluttered world of luxury and success. A momentary winner and buyer of exclusive dreams. An eager salesman trots up to me. I shake his hand dismissively. My vision flickers, I break to a halt, close my eyes and breathe. In, out. I feel sick, both hands fall to my stomach as if to protect it. My paunch is undeniable, though of course only temporary. But I need to eat. I can pick something up at Mr. Pez's. I remember taking two Consumervore in the bathroom this morning. I can feel them now, starting to dig in, coursing through my blood. I flick on the radio from the embedded controls in the steering wheel. A song I like ends too quickly and the news blares out. My thumb hovers impatiently over the station button as I hear. A famine in Africa. Thousands already dead. 500,000 displaced. Only the beginning. That famous BBC footage from the early 80s of those dying Ethiopian children appears in my head. The child at the front with a little swollen belly. I remember wondering what it was full of. It looked so hard. An ad for McLean's toothpaste comes on. It makes me laugh out loud. I blow into my hand and try to smell my breath. Not sure if I can smell anything, though I might not get too close to clients today. Not until I can buy some mints, anyway. I pull into the car park at the back of Mr. Pez's supermarket, but have problems finding the space. The shopping army has arrived before me, their cars gleaming with unused capability, reversed into tidy little white boxes, awaiting fruit and veg from exotic lands so they can trundle off home to consume before they trundle back. I find a space next to the industrial bins behind the pub. Waste is spilling out on the floor, spreading, trying to escape. I hold my breath until I'm a good distance away, then look back and bleep my Audi S4, which flashes and clunks its lock shut. I feel like a parent whose child has just performed a virtuoso violin performance in front of all the other parents. I feel the admiration of others, and also a little smug that soon I'll be upgrading. Just as I open the door to the supermarket, it starts raining behind me. I look up at the dark, twisting sky. It looks like it's eaten something bad and it isn't happy about it. I walk up to the only person working at the tills. "Excuse me," I say. The head of a teenage girl turns around, expressionless. "I have an appointment with Mr. Pez." She slowly shakes her head. "Sorry," I ask. "He takes the last Thursday of the month off. Always." Something rises in my stomach, flips, and disappears under the surface. I let out a faint grunt. The girl doesn't seem to notice. "That can't be. I have an appointment," I say, knowing that she's right. I point to my Omega watch, feeling the deep bevel that surrounds the face. "Today is the last Thursday of the month," says the girl. My tongue licks my dry lips. I need water. "Can you tell Mr. Pez I'll call tomorrow, same time? I hope to God he can see me." Now the girl is saying something, but I'm not listening. I watch her thin lips make mute, fish-like gulps. Her mouth stops. I look at her eyes. She blinks. "Water?" I ask. You want water? I nod. She points down one of the aisles, but I can't stop looking at her anemic face, which is under attack from a swarm of spots. They're eating her alive from the inside, working their way to the surface. Soon they'll escape and burst into the atmosphere. Aisle two. Water is in aisle two. Thanks, I say. How could I have got the appointment wrong? I remember speaking to Mr. Pez on the phone. He was eating an apple at the time. I heard him crunch into it and wondered if it had one of those little sticky labels on it saying Fiji was a mother faraway land. Or maybe it wasn't Mr. Pez after all. Maybe it was Mr. Vacca, my next appointment. These tablets are making things hazy. I find the water section and down half a litre without pausing. When I get back to the till with an armload of pasties and a packet of cocktail sausages, there's a pregnant woman loading two baskets onto the counter. I feel myself smiling at her. She turns and smiles back. It's a warm, giving smile. Seems a long time since I last saw one. Not a hint of insincere politeness. I feel like I'm going to cry, and it shocks me. I turn away. Why don't you go first, she says. No, I'm in no rush, thank you. I step back and pretend to look at the products that I'm cradling in my arms. She must be 7 or 8 months pregnant. She reminds me of a ripened fruit just before harvest. Her top, obviously bought at an earlier stage of pregnancy, has been stretched by her swollen breasts, pulled down and exposing a deep cleavage. The skin at the bottom of the stomach is peeping out, unable to be constrained and tucked away. I become aware of my hand rising, reaching out to touch, but I check myself. She smiles at me without looking. She smiles without looking at me. She knows I'm admiring her, adoring her. Her cheeks are flushed, her eyes dark and watery. Nature has filled her to the brim with the sustenance of life. Being this close to her feels like sun on my skin. I'm being nourished, made better. She breathes in shallow, dark, quick bursts. Her movements are slow and considered. She's relaxed with herself. The fight and puzzlement of what the universe is doing to her has long since passed. She's now a willing servant to the greater will, playing her beautiful part in the raw violence of regeneration. Suddenly, it's dark, and I'm deep underwater. I can't see. I'm terrified. I can't breathe. I'm going to panic, but somehow I don't. Somehow I'm safe, really safe, safer than I've ever been. The liquid that surrounds me, protects me, is part of me. It's cushioning me, holding me. I undulate gently. I'm euphoric, in a dream state. I've never been this happy. There's no sound, except for the light thudding of my heart. Thud, thud, thud. There's no past, no future, just now. I have no worries, no needs, no wants. Everything is taken care of. All I need to do is float and let my heart thud, thud, thud. I hear a bell and jolt my head up. All I see is a face peering down at me, the face of the teenage girl. Are you all right? She asks, giving my shoulder a gentle shake. I look around, looking for answers. I'm on the floor, hunched over a stack of shopping baskets. You went a bit funny, groaned and dropped to the floor, just like that. Just after that lady left. I pull myself to my feet. I tell her I'm fine, but she doesn't believe me. I quickly pay and make for the door. See you tomorrow then, she calls after me, uncertainly. I wave without looking back. I'm confident that outside I will see sunlight and bright skies, and I'm taken aback to be confronted by a sharp, blustery day. My euphoria seems to be falling out of me, leaking into the pavement. I try to remember where my car is, but can't. Everything seems unfamiliar. A panic judders through me and bursts into my chest. I'm surrounded by cars which all seem to be facing me, watching me, as if I've been captured. I now understand that the cars are all connected, all part of one pulsing organism. It's ravenous and endlessly hungry. It's incapable of being satisfied, contented, stopped. I feel as if I've lifted the mask off a killer and I'm looking directly into his face. I feel his breath. I run in search of my car, but I feel the murderous instinct is swirling around me, touching me, becoming part of me. I beat my car and see it light up. I run to it, fumble to get in and lock the doors. I need to calm down. Something's happening to me. Probably lack of food. Could be the pearls. Something. I look at the brown paper bag I'm still holding. It's stained with grease from whatever's inside. I drop it on the floor and tilt my open hand to the light, which glistens with an oily membrane. I drive out of the car park but seem to be fighting the gears, or them me. Every other car on the road threatens. I slow down, but the car behind begins beeping and flashing. I swerve to the side of the road, almost hitting a man walking a dog. His face is all screwed up, his finger jabbing, accusing. The radio announces, child obesity will be the number one social problem by 2012. I see obese kids, lots of them, becoming obese adults, enormously fat humans, half naked with distended stomachs close to the floor. They're running through a broken city in sinuous, hulking packs, driven only by their need to devour. When they chance upon other living creatures, they attack, feed, and move on into the distance, shrieking, raging, untiring. The radio plays the current ad for Consumervore, the ad I know so well. I normally sing along with the lyrics, but this time I just listen. Guaranteed by scientists, supported by the government, the modern diet pill for the modern lifestyle. Eat while you diet, the way diet should be. I shudder at the catchphrase I know is coming. You do the living while we reduce your weight. Consume more with Consumervore. I turn off the radio and put my hands on my stomach. It used to be bigger. At least I think so. My mobile rings. The name Mr. Vacker appears on the display. Mr. Vacker, how are you? No, that's fine. 1 o'clock is good for me too. I hang up and drop the phone on the passenger seat. I reach for one of the boxes on the back seat, force it open, and take out a new packet of Consumervore. As I rip it open, pills scatter over the floor. I look at them for a moment, gleaming white capsules sitting amongst the dirt, perfectly white, like pearls or spider's eggs. I pick up two, blow off the dirt, and swallow them dry. I turn on the ignition and set off for my next meeting. Everybody does that, don't they? Thank you.